Hello, and welcome to the Changemakers podcast. I'm Dave Corlett, Business Director at the creative agency ShapeBuy, and in this series, I chat to leading marketers at what we call Changemaker Brands, businesses on a mission to change the world for the better through technology. What I want to find out is the role that creativity plays in helping them to communicate the benefits of their technology. Hopefully their insights, experience and stories can help you supercharge your own creativity. My guest this week is somebody that I've wanted to get on for such a long time. Now, when you think of those real B2B tech heavyweight brands, there's one that springs to mind instantly for me, and it's HubSpot. Dimitri Shamis, my guest, is the global head of creative there, and his perspective on creativity and expression and differentiation within the world of B2B tech marketing is actually quite well publicized. He's very vocal about it on social media. So I wanted to get him on and discuss that in more depth, and we finally managed to do it, which makes me so excited. It was a great conversation, more than anything, because Dimitri cut his teeth slightly differently to how creative leaders in this space tend to do that, which is unlike the kind of art direction agency backgrounds that you tend to find. And Dimitri actually came to fruition through web design and web development, which kind of makes a lot of sense really when you think about it, because HubSpot obviously is a purely digital platform at the cutting edge of that side of things. So it really makes sense for someone like Dimitri to rise through the ranks there from a creative point of view. That's exactly what he's done, and that's exactly what we talk about in this podcast. So I'm so excited to share it with you. This is episode 12 of the Changemakers podcast with Dimitri Shamis from HubSpot. Enjoy. Dimitri, hey, welcome to the Changemakers. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Dave. Thank you for having me. How are you?
Very well. Yeah, very well indeed. Refreshed after a nice break. We were just talking about the stresses and strains of having multiple children, and then we just took them away for a week up in Scotland. So first flight, first all of that. So
beautiful.
It's actually back to work is rest and relaxation, to be honest with you, compared to all of that. But yeah.
That's the funny part, right? You know, when no one expects it, or it's like, oh, you know, you've been off because I'm just coming back from my own parental leave because I just had a new baby.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, you must be exhausted, you know, having the baby and doing work and all of that. And I'm just like, no, actually, I have an 8-hour break every day now, so it's pretty great.
A massive congratulations to you on that, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
5 months old already. Wow, that's time does fly. But I wanted to start... if I may, you know, I've been so excited to have you on the podcast. I think ever since we started talking, it's been one that I've been really, really looking forward to. Obviously, you know, a huge fan of HubSpot and all you do and the brand that you guys have built there. But I just wanted to start off how you got to where you are today, leading the global creative function at HubSpot. Because as I understand it, it's slightly unconventional. A lot of creative leaders maybe come from kind of the world of, I guess, art direction, maybe even the agency world. But your background is web development, I believe.
That is correct, yes. And I mean, if I were to take you even further back in a time, you know, I went to school for sports management. I thought I was going to be a sports agent, you know, big sports fan, watched Jerry Maguire one too many times. And somewhere along the way, I realized I actually just want to be a fan. And I kind of shifted gears and pivoted more towards entertainment. And that was where I started really learning about brand and learning about just like building something that's bigger than just like a single person or a, you know, single entity. And I was focused in broadcast television. I was working with journalists and news anchors and chefs and just general personalities. And it was really cool and really exciting. And then one day I woke up and said, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to quit my job and learn how to write code, you know, like any normal, rational human being would do.
Wow. That's quite a pivot.
It was kind of wild. And I mean, you know, it didn't completely come out of nowhere. Like, I've always been curious about how things work. I've always wanted to know the behind the scenes kind of thing. And so I did leave my job. I went and learned how to code and started working at, I'm originally from New York, and I was working at a marketing agency in Manhattan. And I get this message out of nowhere, and it's just like, hey, there's this company in Boston, we're called HubSpot, we're doing some pretty cool things, you want to come up here? And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever, let's check it out. You know, one thing led to another, I get the job, and it was like the best interview process ever, and it's like gotten 10 times better, which is really cool. But like, I'm fired up, I'm really motivated, I'm really excited, and I get there and there's like, here's a stack of like 100 landing pages that we need you to build. I was like, what do you mean? Like, you told me this was going to be cool, you told me this is going to be a great job. And I very much became the squeaky wheel in the sense that it was, I wanted to do more. I was promised more. I was promised this like motivated company that was trying to do interesting, new, ambitious things. And fortunately, they didn't fire me. And they said, all right, why don't you take over this dev team, and show us what we need to do. And so I built that team out. And as I was doing that, this is where like the pivot kind of started happening. And I started really building great relationships with our design team. I started building really great relationships with our video team. I started building relationships just like across the organization. And it kind of brought me back to like that old life in the entertainment industry where it was like, there's something more here. There's something more that we can be doing. And while I think the work was solid at that point, in my head, I saw this like vision of a creative team that was bigger than, and better than the sum of all of its pieces. And became a squeaky wheel again, and they didn't fire me a second time, which is cool. And I made the shift into creative. And so like, I'm not this traditional just kind of developer that like, I have a comp sci degree, anything like that. I pivoted, and then I sort of pivoted back with a different kind of perspective added in, which was the development angle. And I think that was actually really cool and really interesting for a company like HubSpot and, a tech company in general, because, if I did come from that art direction background, I would be very good on the design side. I'd be very good at the storytelling side, but I think the industry has changed in a very unique way to be, not just more tech focused, but more development focused and development hungry, frankly. And so being able to understand both sides of it has been really helpful, and it helped that pivot, because yeah, it didn't just start from nothing.
And how did you, I mean, obviously you must have a great eye for the design side of things. Is that something you've had to work on, or is that something that's come naturally to you as you've kind of pivoted towards that more creative leadership role?
I mean, I guess the first thing I need to say is I'm not a designer, right? Like the worst thing you could ever decide to do is ask me to decide or to design anything. So, it's one of those things where like, I don't know the, I couldn't walk you through the details. I couldn't work out all of the like the foundational elements of why a design is good or bad, but inherently, like I've always kind of been able to look at something and say, I think this is good, I think this is bad, right? Because it's also subjective. And that's kind of my just philosophy in general, where when I look at something, it's like, does it hit all the marks? And then do I like it? Because if I don't like it, then someone else probably won't either. And, I trust my team to do their best work. I trust them to bring their expertise and tell me that something, okay, this looks good, but like fundamentally, this is actually garbage and we shouldn't put this out. And I'll be like, all right, cool. Like, explain to me why, but like, I'm with you. But if it looks good, I'll be able to say like, great job.
Absolutely. And speaking of that team, how big is it now? What's the size of the team that you run?
It's I just had to take a look at our org size because I came back from leave, and we are at 136.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a team. And what's that built? What's that structure look like? What's that built of? Are there different departments within that team?
There are, yes. So we have three departments within the team. We have our creative studio, we have creative operations, and we have web development. And so within our creative studio, that's where we have our video team and our design team, our motion graphics team, production, creative direction, copywriting as well. Within creative operations, that's where we have our project management. That's where we have our, like planning and forecasting group. We have our outsourcing group. We have our, creative solutions group. And then web development, that's where, front end, back end, DevOps, just a ton going on. Like our dev team is actually our biggest team, and it's not even because I'm a former dev.
What are the, I mean, there must be so many challenges of running a team that size. I mean, you've obviously mentioned the fact that building relationships is really key to fostering a kind of strong sense of connection within a team like that. Are there any other kind of key challenges around things like scalability, kind of efficiency, effectiveness? Are they things that kind of weigh on your mind on a daily basis?
Oh my God, yes. Like right now, as we're speaking, right, even separate of this question, it's running through my mind. I mean, everyone is always busy. There's so much work. There's more work than people. And you can hire 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and you will still never catch up to all of the work. And that's where, you know, you don't want to build a team where all you're doing, all you're responsible for is kind of like the run rate, business as usual stuff. That's a bit demoralizing. That's a bit boring. It's monotonous. You want to give people the opportunity to be more conceptual, to come up with new ideas and try new things. And so the only way to do that is by getting things off their plate. And this is where you start thinking about like the scalability challenges and whatnot. You know, that team that I joined 7 years ago, I was one of 12 people on what would have been the creative team back then, right? Wow. The marketing team was 75 people. Today, you know, like I said, we're 136. The marketing team is, I think, 600 or so. It just keeps growing and growing. And every new marketer you hire, that's more work that has to be achieved. So we've really started thinking about different ways to utilize outsourcing and working with approved vendors. We've really invested in self-service solutions because we want folks to be autonomous. We want folks to have the opportunity to get their work done as slow or as quickly as they need to do it while maintaining the brand, while maintaining all of the pillars of what makes HubSpot HubSpot. And it just gets harder and harder as you scale because you have to give people what they need, but you also have to, you know, design and build what they need. And then you also have to still focus on the more conceptual work that is brand new and things that, you know, we just haven't thought about at all. And now, like, you balance all of it and it's tough.
How do you actually do that though? Do you guys come together as a team, or do certain teams come together and have kind of almost pre-agreed time and space to conceptualize, to experiment? Or is it just a case of doing it as and when you can, or do they do it are they encouraged to do it on an individual basis and then share what they've found? How does that work in practice?
It's a bit of everything. You know, some partnerships that we have across marketing are just naturally going to be more innovative or more conceptual. You know, like we created a media group last year. That's always going to be a bit different than, you know, like we need to update our product pages. Both are incredibly valuable and incredibly important, but it's just the level of, let's go with conceptualization, is just not the same across the board. So, you know, when you're talking about media, you're going to say to the entire group of folks that's working on media, hey, we need to do something different. We need to innovate. We want to stand out. We don't want to be in the pack with everyone else. We want to be ahead. Whereas with product pages, it's like we released a new feature, we released a new product, we're going to utilize this template that we've already built out and add to it. But at the same time, you have to challenge people where it's like, don't just go in there and, you know, add another bullet point. Don't go in there and, add a new card or something like that. Like, what should we be doing? What could we be doing? And we have to challenge our own team. And like, I think one of the most important aspects of building relationships and like thinking about marketing is like, we are marketers. We're part of the marketing team. Like, creative doesn't sit off somewhere to the side and, you know, get a phone call like, hey, we need this. We're very much a part of the crew there. And we know what marketing's goals are because they're our goals. And as such, we're partners to the broader marketing team. And that enables us to bring our expertise, that allows the marketers to bring their expertise. And like, I strongly believe that when you merge the two, the end product is always, you know, 10 times better than what it could be. And whether it is something more conceptual or whether it's something more like business as usual, you always have to bring it, whether on an individual level or at a group level, to try and push forward, because otherwise you're going to stagnate, the work is going to get stale, and you're going to drop the ball at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of HubSpot, the business itself, is it fundamentally a business that has a creative culture about it? Is that part of what fosters that kind of collaboration between teams and stuff? Is it a fundamentally creative business?
I think it depends on your perspective of creative. I think we're always trying to do something different and we're always trying to do something new, but that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, we're trying to have the, you know, the most in-your-face brand or doing like some Times Square takeover or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, we're creative in very different kind of ways, and in some cases it's boring actually, right? Like the way we thought about SEO a decade ago, right? Like it's not sexy, it's not fun necessarily, but it's made us the company that we are today. And you know, just understanding your industry, understanding what the challenges that you're facing are, and figuring out creative solutions to those things, like that's very much the company that we are. And in that case, absolutely, we're creative. In terms of things that are kind of like in your face and fun and flashy, we're starting to do more of that, and I'm really excited because, you know, I'm one of the leaders of that group. But you know, I believe when it comes to creativity, we're more substance than flash, and we'll figure out what that balance is going forward. But long answer to a short question, yes, we're creative, but maybe not in the way that others would expect us to be.
You just touched on something that's quite interesting. As a leader, feeling that kind of, do you feel a certain amount of pressure to, I guess it's kind of obvious really in terms of your role itself, in terms of being a creative leader, but do you feel a certain pressure on yourself to kind of maintain that creative spirit when sometimes you feel like it might be lagging in certain places?
I do, but it can't be dependent on me because it's, I mean, think of it like as when you were a kid or when you were at school, like, you know, your parents or your teachers or whomever would tell you, like, oh, you know, have fun, be creative, smile, whatever it might have been. You're like, what are you talking? Like, shut up. And that's kind of like when you're that figurehead, that's sort of what happens. So while I very much want my team to be inspired and bringing new ideas and pushing themselves, like, it's very much dependent on the culture of the team and having the team push themselves, because, you know, your peer group, that's whose respect you want. That's who you want to be really like fired up about what you're doing. And so if within a peer group, whether it be either like discipline specific or, you know, project specific or whatever else, like that's where we try to push our team to kind of like push one another and bring that forward. 'Cause me saying like, oh, we're going to do a show and tell, you should all be excited. Everyone's like, yeah, great, cool. Like that's an hour I'm not getting back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've all been there. And just continuing on the leadership thing for a second, how does it work in terms of your role and senior leadership across the rest of the business? Are you in kind of regular contact with the senior, with marketing leaders, with kind of revenue leaders, growth leaders, and whatnot to kind of to foster that collaboration between your team and theirs?
I'm mostly in touch with marketing leadership. Like I'll get brought in here and there across the company, whether it be, yeah, within sales or support with our people, or from time to time with our product org from time to time. But you know, the marketing leadership team really has those relationships, and you know, I'll work with them to figure out what we need to do and how we can help and be supportive of the other parts of the company.
Yeah. And I guess, and what I know you're only just coming back from paternity leave, so there might not be an obvious answer to this question, but what does a typical week look like for you in your role, if there is such a thing, I guess?
It's a great question, and I don't know that there is a typical week. And the reason for that, just 'cause like everything changes, and you know, the one thing that is consistent is I'm in a lot of meetings from week to week. What those meetings are about, what we're discussing, what projects we're thinking about, like that's what changes. The people that I'm meeting with changes based on what the business is going through from time to time. I mean, it's cool in that regard, but it's also tricky because I can't really get into a routine, and maybe that's what keeps me on my toes.
Yeah, but it must be quite different to sitting writing code all day, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I miss that from time to time, like just the ability to put my head down, put my headphones on, and just focus on something. Like, I don't get that much focus time these days, and that sucks.
Yeah, I know exactly. I know the feeling as well. I just wanted to kind of move the conversation a little bit from HubSpot and the challenges there, just to kind of a more broader theme around, I guess you call it B2B tech marketing. I know that's a really broad thing to say. But we have a lot of conversations on this podcast about, I guess, the reluctance in some ways of many, many B2B marketers, not necessarily creative heads, but more kind of marketers, to really embrace what we talked about a little bit earlier, which is kind of, differentiation, experimentation, trying to be different. Do you see that? in the way that you kind of view the industry, and has that changed at all over the past few years as kind of B2B marketing has become a little bit more kind of almost, dare I say it, B2C like?
I think there's been a huge shift, right? Like we've all heard the cliches around, upper decision makers. They just want something that's going to be a feature list, and they want something that's straight to the point. They don't have time. They don't need the fluff or the emotion. But like, we're just surrounded by marketing all day long, and we're not selling to businesses, even though, business to business marketing. But like, I am not a business. You are not a business. We are people who, work for a business. So we still have to, we have to create that emotional appeal or that like storytelling hook. We have to do something that's different because feature sets are similar, products are similar. What's going to change? And so I think lots of businesses have been catching on to that. And, in terms of just humanity changing as a whole, right? Like with the pandemic, with everything, like people want to support businesses that support things that they care about, that they love. It's not just about, oh, this is a cool like CRM, or they have built-in calling or messaging, like everyone does now. So I think there's been a huge shift. I think the way people buy has changed because people are buying the way people buy, not the way like a business is perceived to buy. And I think that's for the best because you're starting to see a lot of like great work coming out of, I think our work is great. I think MailChimp's work is great. I think Salesforce is doing a great job. I think there's a lot of like really great companies out there that are doing some things that 5 years ago maybe they would never have. Like they wouldn't have even come close to. And you could have done that, like, you know how they say the like you cover the logo on a web page or whatever, on a document, and you can't tell who's who. Like that's what the world was a couple of years ago. And now, you look at something HubSpot released, and orange aside, like that that's HubSpot. Like you look at MailChimp and you know that that's MailChimp. And I think that's really cool, and that is an exciting prospect for people like us, where we're no longer stifled in our creative endeavors, and we get to have some fun with it.
And in terms of, so you mentioned there are obviously some other kind of businesses that fit into kind of your world. Just in terms of your team and how and where you find inspiration, do you find yourselves looking more kind of within this world now for kind of inspiration and things like that? Or do you look to the B2C world to see what people are doing and how they're differentiating themselves there and how they're building that emotional connection with their audiences?
I mean, yeah, we look everywhere. I think there are certain challenges that we'll run into that, only companies in our space will run into. Like an example could be, how do you sell a bunch of different products, right? And I think like maybe Stripe, it does a really good job of differentiating with color, and they have their different products segmented in a specific way and like aligned and organized, and that's really cool. And like very few companies, like Coca-Cola isn't trying to sell you 20 different kinds of soda through their website. That's just not how that works. So you're not going to get that inspiration from them. But a company like Stripe will. And when we think about, what do we need to do here, or how do we make the shift, like we'll look at them. But then you do look at the stuff that you're just surrounded by naturally, day in and day out, right? Like I'm not sitting there, combing through YouTube watching all of these different B2B ads. I'm watching my like cooking shows. I'm watching my Marvel movie trailers, whatever it might be. And like, there are sponsors, there are different ads that are interspersed throughout and all that. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. What if we tried this, or what if we tried that? And like, my team is doing the same thing and bringing those ideas back as well. So like, we're inspired by everything we see, as cliche of an answer as that is. I think you have to be.
And you're inspired by Pirates of the Caribbean, I see, as well, with your recent ad. That was really cool. Was that something that you had some involvement in, or were you on paternity leave?
I mean, funny enough, like I had this very, very tough decision to make of, do I go to the shoot or do I stay home just in case? And my wife's water broke on the first day of the shoot, so I didn't actually travel, which was for the best. But yeah, up until that point, I was very much involved in the planning and the discussions and the pitches. And it was really cool to work with like 72 and Sunny and my colleagues here at HubSpot to get that concept out.
It's a cool ad. I really, really like it.
Thank you.
And is that something we're going to see more of from HubSpot in terms of those big plays, those kind of the real, you know, the emotional, the bringing that humorous element to the brand and pushing that out across, you know, across the globe, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. You know, this was our first one, which is really special. And you know, we're going to take our learnings, we're going to figure out what worked, what didn't work, and we're going to use that for the next one. And I think that's just like inherent to our philosophy, experimentation and sourcing the data, and then figuring out what we could throw out, because that, you know, won't help us make a fun ad.
Absolutely, And I just wondered, just on a personal level, how much do you feel a certain amount of pressure in terms of kind of, you know, HubSpot is, with all due respect, it's a high profile brand, you know, and it's getting more high profile with activities and with ads and things like that. Do you feel personally a certain amount of pressure and responsibility in terms of being responsible for the brand and keeping it fresh and relevant?
I mean, not to sound arrogant, no, I don't. I mean, like I realize the responsibility that I have. I understand it, and you know, the work that my team is trusted to do. But I think it's the belief from, you know, our company's leadership, from marketing leadership, from my team in the fact that we are doing what we need to do, that makes it a little easier. You know, I think a little bit of pressure is healthy, but I don't want, you know, I'm not trying to run this like 100 hour a week, everyone's working night and weekends kind of agency. I want people to have freedom. I want people to have space and time. And like doing that is what makes it, what alleviates a lot of that pressure for me. Because I think it's reflected in the brand. I think we get to be more playful because our people get to be a bit more playful in their own lives, and they get to bring a little fun. And like, you know, I disappeared for 4 months, right? Like, and that's a huge blessing and an amazing perk. I don't get to do that. I don't get to completely disconnect and shut down if I don't have that trust in my team, and if that trust isn't reciprocated throughout marketing leadership into my team. So I know what I have, but I'm not bothered by it, because I know that my team is great and that the people around us are great, our partners are great. So I don't know. It's probably less of a sexy answer than you might have hoped for, but I don't know.
No, absolutely. No, I think it's a brilliant position to be in, to be honest. I think, you know, you're so right about building a team that you trust and that trust each other to deliver on what you're trying to achieve. And honestly, I'm not just saying this because you're on my podcast, but it comes through and it shines through in what you guys do.
Thank you.
And it's you mentioned earlier, you know, that kind of instant affinity and identity with the brand. And you know, okay, I might be slightly kind of might not be the most natural fit because I spend a lot of time in the B2B tech world, but it happens instantly. You know, you see the little bubbles, you see your little, you see the things that you associate with HubSpot, and you instantly know that it's you guys. So, you know, your team's definitely doing a brilliant job.
Thank you.
I just wanted to finish on. It's been so good to have you on. I really, really appreciate your time today, Dimitri. It's
It's been a pleasure.
been an awesome conversation. I just wanted to finish with a question that we ask all of our guests on the Changemakers, which is there a particular campaign or project or something that you've achieved throughout your career? It might not even be at HubSpot, might be somewhere else from your early days. but is there anything that you're particularly proud of more than anything else from your career so far?
It's a great question, and like there are two things that jump out to me. One is actually the campaign we just spoke about, the pirates, the like HubSpot success stories. You know, being here for 7 years, like I came in and yes, I was a dev, but I wanted to do the brand work. I wanted to create these cool experiences and get HubSpot on TV. And you know, we all work for companies where, you know, friends and family don't know what we do. Like I wanted to work for a company where my friends and family did know, and I thought that was a big part to it. So, you know, getting to a point where we've built a team that is capable of putting something like that out is just like personally really gratifying and really exciting. But then like the other thing that comes out is something from a couple of years back where, you know, I'm a really big fan of just like innovation and trying to do things that other folks haven't done, right? Like I think that's how we succeed in this space in general. But like, you know, I was still running the dev team at the time, and like this weird thing called Facebook Messenger was coming out, and apparently people were into it, right? And I was just sitting there, and I'm like, there's this opportunity to do something bigger and better here. And I took a couple of devs into a corner basically, and we just said, like, what if we build this cool infrastructure? What if we like connect it to HubSpot? What if we do all this like cool stuff? And it worked. And we bought a company that helped support that, and like that product that we built for the marketing team is kind of just like a what if, ended up getting built into the HubSpot product, and now like all of our customers have access to it. And it's just really, really cool because like as a marketing team, you shouldn't have that kind of impact on the product. Like you obviously you get your learnings, you speak to your customers, you speak to your prospects, and that gets relayed and passed through so that we can make improvements and whatnot. But to build something that went into the product and that like hundreds of thousands, probably millions of people are using now is just like one of the coolest things ever.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds awesome. It's always nice when kind of projects just end up snowballing into something that maybe you didn't think was going to happen at the start, but it just kind of picks up and picks up, and all of a sudden it's this amazing entity that has impact for and longevity. Yeah, that sounds really cool. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Dimitri. I really appreciate your time. You've been a great guest on the Changemakers. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dave.